B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in.
I'm not singing the song, Tom. I know we're close. We're not going to get together and do the duet, okay? Noon time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Zo's off again this week, although I think he's around. I check my phone. He's probably texted. Did he text you at all? He text us at all today?
Yeah, he's texted me a couple of times.
Has he?
He tried FaceTiming me like 11:30 a couple nights
ago. Oh, yeah, same here. I got the same thing. I didn't pick up.
Oh, God, no. There's nothing good will come from that.
He just texted, oh, my God. What was that all about? Just an oh, my God. Out of nowhere. Okay. So, he's watching. I think he's around. I think he's local. 617-779-0985. There he is. He took a picture of himself in front of the TV with the thumbs up.
What's with the sideways hat?
I don't know.
It's unsettling.
Yep. There he is. Enjoying himself. Thanks, Zoe. Appreciate it. Let's get to your calls. I know you've been hanging on. We'll also get back to some of the NBA stuff as well. Paul's in Weymouth. Something about Brandon King on Twitter. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, guys? So that whole Pollard thing,
yeah,
he threatened my life on Twitter.
Who did? Bernard Pollard did?
Yes, I have pictures and screenshots. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. So this guy, who is on the phone right now, and this is Paul, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, all right. So he said to Pollard,
"Yeah,
you trash and always will be. Again, what school teaches you to tackle like a effing idiot because you are the dirtiest player the NFL has ever seen?" Pollard responded to him, "You look like you play for a, quote, pay-to-play league. Don't ever come on my thread making noise. I swear right now if I put on pads, I would put you in the hospital. People like you get tats to look tough. Sorry, sucka." Oh. S-U-C-K-A. I don't know if that's a real...
I don't know if that's a threat on your life. I think he's just saying he's going to hurt you on the football field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it twice, though. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I had him going. He was really bad at me.
Are you one of these guys who's like in a pay-to-play, like a grown man who puts on the pads and plays football?
I was. I don't do that anymore.
I used to see these guys. They would come onto the field there at the you know where the West Roxbury High School is, Beetle? They got the West Roxbury Educational Complex.
Okay.
They got a beautiful field out there, and my daughter used to play lacrosse on those fields. And one night a week, right after they would finish practice, these grown men in pads football
guys. Yeah, like the semi-pro leagues.
Would come out for practice. I'm like, these guys are nuts.
Maniacs.
Crazy.
Can't get enough of the sport.
Crazy.
Can't get enough of the game.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be talking smack to Paul, even if I were Bernard Pollard. So, all right, Paul, thank you.
Well, at least, Paul, at least you didn't mix up the Brandon Kings.
True.
All right, yeah, true. Yeah. At least you didn't do that.
It happens.
Again, apologies to Brandon King, the Brandon King of the Patriots today. Unfortunate mix-up. Very unfortunate. I had the wrong Brandon King. Wrong Brandon King. Sorry. Whoops.
I didn't stop you. I didn't know.
I'm not going to blame that on anybody else. Put that squarely on myself. I'm not blaming anybody else for that. Ben is in Marblehead on the Red Sox. What's up, Ben?
What's up, guys? I got a solution for the Sox. We should have Henry just got activated. I think he could be pretty effective once he gets a little more healthy, a little more time to pitch. I think moving Eovaldi back there is a terrible idea. Keep him in the rotation. No need to trade for a starter because we also got no one to trade. And then Barnes, if you look at Barnes' statistics on back-to-back days, when he pitches back-to-back days, he pitches like crap. But if you pitch him every other day, he could be a good solution for the Sox.
Yeah, I also think you're right about that. The overusage of Barnes is a real concern, too. They used him too much in the month of June. They've got to back off his usage. They've got to slow down how much they use him. The back-to-backs is a big problem for him, but I also think the more rest he has, as is the case with plenty of relievers, the more you give him the rest, the better he is. I think there's a direct correlation with him. With you give him a little bit of time off, the better you're going to get out of Matt Barnes. But the problem is the starting pitching hasn't held up their end of the bargain either, which is a problem, which that does go to their, you know, sort of their comments about we need to pitch better, we need to play better. Agreed. I think we all agree on that. You're still going to fix the bullpen, even if you do get better starting pitching. Even if Chris Sale does show up. Even if the rotation does sort of pitch well all the way through. You could still afford some help in that bullpen. Bob in South Hadley today. Bob!
How you doing?
What do you got?
The only thing I've got to say is I remember at the winter meetings, Dave Dombrowski said they did not plan on spending any more money on the team that they, you know, they're one of the highest paid teams in Major League Baseball. I'm just calling to say I'm glad to hear they're going to try to pick up someone, whether it's a starter or reliever. At least they're cognizant of the fact that they need someone. And I'm not sure, but I think even, and I could be wrong, I think even Dennis Eckersley yesterday in the Detroit game mentioned they need another arm. But I think he impugned more of a starter, fifth man. And I could be wrong on that. But this bullpen is tired. You guys are spot on, such as Matt Barnes. You know, I hate to reiterate that. But they just, it seems like management just doesn't seem to pick up on these things. You know, it's so blatant. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
Right. It's just when you hear Dave Dombrowski talk and you hear John Henry talk last week, you're like, are these guys watching the same games that we're watching?
Yeah.
Are they every night watching the same things that we see? Are they seeing this? Because we're all seeing it, and these problems seem pretty obvious. But then you hear them talk and say things like, oh, we just need to play better. We just need to play better. Oh, you know, Tyler Thornburg's looking great.
Yeah, you could mention the bullpen. It's not going to offend anybody.
You know, like,
you're not telling any secrets.
You could say the bullpen has been bad, and we know it's an issue. At least feel a little bit better that you're seeing the same thing that we're seeing. And even Alex Cora has gotten in on this, too. The manager has said these things and has talked about the focus and the base running, and we've got to be better in the field, and we've got to be better at the plate, and like, what? Yeah, I guess so. And I guess if you're the manager, that's the line you've got to spew. But oh, it gets sort of old.
We think the improvements can come from within.
Okay, all right. Well, I think you're going to be left disappointed, Dave, if you keep waiting on those improvements from within. I think you're going to find that you needed to get some improvements from elsewhere.
Tyler Thornburg has thrown the ball.
Stop telling me about Tyler Thornburg. That's an old clip. We play that all the time. Kevin is in Agawam. He wants to know what Hardy was doing during the World Cup yesterday. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mowed my lawn Friday and lost 3 pounds by 9:30. What were you doing outside at 11 o'clock that was so special, rather than the World Championship?
Yeah, what were you doing, Hardy? What were you doing during the World Cup?
Well, I cut my lawn quickly yesterday morning, did the trimming, and we wanted to get out and go on our family hike before the weather got too warm.
Oh.
So we packed up the family truckster, went over to Blue Hill, including the dog, went straight up to the observatory there at the top of Blue Hill, came right back down, right back home. Everybody got changed, and we went to the pool for the rest of the afternoon. And then when we got down to the pool, went home, and then Blondie and I went back out and got 9 holes in yesterday evening.
Wow.
That's a full day.
That's a busy day.
That's a full day enjoying everything that a glorious New England summer day has to offer. And that's why we suffer through the winters here, because the summers in New England are among the best in the world. And when you get a day like yesterday where it's warm, low humidity, you take advantage of every single second of it outside, not on your couch watching a soccer game. Outside. You go outside and enjoy it that way. Does that answer your question?
He hung up. I thought I didn't hang up on him.
I thought you might.
He hung up.
hiking, swimming, golfing. That's how I spent my mowing, hiking, swimming, golfing. Throwing a little line trimming in there too.
Line trimming.
Line trimming. I'll do it in order. Dog walking, line trimming, mowing, hiking, swimming.
You do your trimming first, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What do you do afterward?
I do it
how do you
way around.
It? With your hands?
I do the mowing, then the trimming.
But if you do the trimming first, you can do a little bit extra so that once you get your mower going, then you can just fly, baby.
Well, this is a good question. Which one should be done first, the mowing or the trimming?
Mm.
Well, if you do the mowing first, then you know what you can't reach and need to get with the trimmer.
Careful. This is a derailing type of subject here. Are you ready to derail?
Yeah, but it's an important question.
Okay.
Because if you mow first, then you know what you can't reach and can't get those hard-to-reach areas.
I know.
Then you pick up the trimmer and you handle with the trimmer.
Have you ever cut your grass before?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what you can't reach. You've done it. You know what's reachable. You know from doing it.
For the most part.
I just, when the mower goes off, I like to be done. Clean it up.
But I want to do the least amount of trimming as possible.
I just know that if I get out there and do the
more
trimming
mowing,
first,
less trimming. Those are words to live by.
I like doing the trimming first, and that way, when I start mowing, I can really move, baby. I can fly.
Here's the action update. Here's the action update. More on NBA free agency with Kawhi Leonard pulling off a shocking move this weekend. Not shocking that he's going to the Clippers, but shocking that he also pulled Paul George into that mix as well. All that's on the way.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard. At Indeed.com/hire.
Josh Bell is the favorite. The Pirates' first baseman, 7-2 to win tonight's home run derby at Cleveland. Vlad Guerrero is 9-2. Pete Alonso and Jock Peterson, 5-1. Hometowner Carlos Santana, 7-1. Alex Bregman and the A's Matt Chapman, 8-1. Ronald Acuna, 10-1. Since Friday night's move of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, the Clippers went from 16-1 at the Westgate here in Las Vegas to the new 3-1 favorite to win the NBA championship. The Celtics are 20-1. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rolling down.
I have your answer here, Beetle.
What is it? On trimming, mowing?
Yeah.
What is it?
Three people in a row all say the same thing. If you trim first, you get to suck up the grass with the mower. Or mulch it. Trim first, that way the mower picks up the
string
trimming
grass. That's
a good
point. That's an excellent point.
Trim first, that way you suck up the mess when you mow. Or mulch it, as the case may be.
No, that's true.
Hmm?
I've raked up what I've trimmed in the past. When it's really tall, if you let it go, when it's too tall.
What are you doing? It's because you're trimming last.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. Yeah. I understand what's gone wrong here.
What about blowing? Do you do any blowing when
you get
done? Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gas-powered blower?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. Not necessary, but man, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Get that dead grass off the sidewalk and driveway and whatnot.
Even when you're bagging it. Yes. Because you still got a few.
Oh, sure. Stragglers, we call
them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
If your blade's a little dull, you know, if you need to sharpen the blade. If you had a few stragglers, didn't get sucked up into the bag. Yeah, sure.
My guy Dave, who comes out and does the tick treatment, he's looking at my grass. You know what he said? Nice sharp blade. He could tell just from looking at the grass. Yeah, it's nice. Felt proud.
It's good. You should.
Yeah.
Should. Well, we can get this out of the way. Larry, you agree with that trim first, without a doubt?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You whack it the right way, then you can blow it out later and pick it up with the cutter. Absolutely.
All right. Larry has weighed in.
Rack it the right way. You can blow it later.
Brian and Swampskit. Brian.
Hey, I can't follow up on Larry, but yeah, you do the weed whacker, then you do the blowing, then you do the mowing.
Whoa. Did you say whack and blow and mowing in that order?
Yes.
Well, what about whack and mowing? Whack and mowing, blowing.
It's whack and blow and mowing because you get all that stuff in your garden, you got to blow it out back onto your lawn, and then you take the mower over it, and then you're clean.
Okay.
You're clean.
And that has been an issue with after the whacking, sometimes you get the trimmings in the beds. But how do you do the blowing without blowing the mulch?
Well, it depends on if you have mulch or not, right? A lot of gardens are just dirt gardens, and then if you do the weed whacking, you'll have all that grass in your garden. So blow it out, put it back on the lawn, and then they get the mower on it, then everything's done.
But what about the trimmings that end up on the sidewalk and the driveway
from
the mowing?
Put that in the street. Let someone else deal with that.
Yeah. But how you get it out there?
Get down the street or back on your lawn.
Well, okay, so then you got to go whacking, blowing, mowing, blowing. You're blowing twice.
You do, but you're getting the most for your money doing the blowing one time in the middle.
What he just said.
I think he does. I think he knew exactly
what he was doing. You get your most money doing the blowing in the middle, he says. More bang for the buck.
Whacking, blowing, mowing, blowing. That's a good Saturday.
Larry's in Ipswich. Larry. Larry, are you there? Oh, you hung up. Sorry. Oh, man.
You're getting the most for your money doing the blowing one time in the middle.
See, he knew. He could barely say it.
Blowing, mowing, whacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the order is very important. The sequence that you choose to do these things.
Oh, sure.
Can really decide how the whole day goes.
Uh-huh. How much time is spent doing it.
Right. Right? I mean, time's valuable. Time is extremely valuable.
Try whacking after the blowing. Damn near impossible.
Why? Why does that mean impossible?
McCone's with me. He knows.
Yeah, I know.
T-Bone says you got to wait at least 15.
Whoo! 15 minutes, that's the waiting period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
All right, well, how do we go from that to the NBA and Kawhi Leonard?
There's... No way.
I don't know that there's a good transition to that.
There isn't. Just
we'll do our best.
Okay.
This weekend, he chose the LA Clippers. Not surprising, by the way, that he chose the Clippers. I know that a lot of people felt he was going to choose the Lakers, right? That was sort of the way it was going at the end of last week. It appeared that he was going to go join LeBron James and go to the Lakers. And the Lakers thought they were probably getting him. They didn't. They didn't get him. He did go to LA. He went to the other team that plays at the Staples Center. He went to the Clippers. And in the middle of the night, he gets Paul George to join him with the Clippers by getting Oklahoma City to trade him to the Clippers because his agent played the Raptors and the Clippers against one another in these trade talks, pitted them against one another with Kawhi Leonard keeping an open mind of going to either team. Brilliant play. I have no idea if he actually was being honest in saying that he was open to going back to Toronto. Toronto realized that they probably didn't have the assets, and they had their own reservations about how real this was anyway. They eventually bow out. The Clippers give a boatload to get in and get Paul George and get the deal done, and the way that they apparently viewed it was that they had no choice. That it was either get Kawhi and in the process give up a boatload to get Paul George or get nothing at all. And so if you're the Clippers, would you have done the deal? This is what you're presented with. You're basically making a trade, not just for Paul George. You're making a trade for both of the players.
Right.
And that's how they had to look at it. Okay, we're giving up draft assets now and for the next decade. This is our play. You get Paul George and Kawhi overnight. You have them here tomorrow.
If you want to be viable in the Western Conference for the next 5 years, then you do it.
Of course.
Of course.
And yet now you're one of the two teams, the two top teams in the Western Conference and in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't discount Golden State. I don't.
I don't either, because they're now still in, you know, they're still in the mix, but they're not as dominant as they were. They're not. And they're coming off a loss to the guy that you just got if you're the Clippers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They now have the guy that just beat Golden State.
And he didn't have Paul George with him.
No. And they now have him. And it's the end. I know a lot of people have sort of played this up as being bad for the league. Oh, it's bad for the NBA. The players control the league. The players do whatever they want. And this is clearly a case of the players said, you know what? I want to go wherever I can get my buddy to join me. And he just told his team that they need to trade him. And they just said, okay, which they did. Oklahoma City was like, all right, we'll trade you. You don't want to be here? What are we going to do? We'll trade you. And they've already got another star and Russell Westbrook, who's there. They've already got two pieces. And one of their guys came to them and said, I don't want to be here anymore. You need to trade me. And they felt they had no other option than to trade him. And so they did. And that's how it goes. The players just control where they go and they decide what they're going to do. And the owners oblige and say, okay, well, what am I going to do? You want to leave? Sure. If I put my foot down and say no, well, then we're going to have a problem. And we don't want to have a problem. We don't want to have to deal with players who are unhappy in this league, who are, you know, causing issues because they don't want to be on the team, are not giving maximum effort because they don't want to be on a particular team or in a particular town. They just, okay, well, it's better for me if I trade you.
Yes.
Right now, and get the kind of haul that they did for him in this deal. So that's how it all goes down over the weekend. And it's going to be great for the league.
No, and as far as the super
and
teams
it's
that people
suck for the Eastern Conference.
It is. But for the people who have kind of been against the super teams, and for the reason you just laid out, Beetle, you don't always have to end up with nothing when your players leave. You can work it in such ways where you get something out of it. But I think the fear was for me is that you were going to have one, you know, super team, and it just keeps, you know, maybe switching from place to place, or maybe two. There's three in the Western Conference right now, arguably four, where you've got multiple players, like impactful players, between what the Lakers have put together with who is still maybe the best player in the world in LeBron James, what he's managed to put together there, what they've done in with the other LA team now with Kawhi and Paul George there. Golden State still qualifies as one of these super teams. You can make a case for what they're trying to get done in Philadelphia or what Brooklyn will be in 2 years from now, but there's three, possibly four, that exist. So the whole idea of a super team, okay, it's not so bad when there's more than one. If you've got two, three, or even four, now it's fun.
It's better when there's more than one of them, and now they have more than one of them.
Of course.
Absolutely, you're right about that. And now there might be more than two. There might be. We don't know. We know there's two.
I would argue there's still a third, and that Brooklyn will probably be a fourth in another year.
What does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the Eastern Conference? More on that with your call. 617-779-0985. That's coming up after the headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, we start with the Red Sox. Ken Rosenthal tweeting out this afternoon that Boston is pushing to add a starter, according to his sources, and they would prefer to act sooner rather than later, and they are apparently casting a wide net. Meanwhile, Boston with a 6-3 win over the Detroit Tigers yesterday in their final game before the All-Star break. Sox 9 games back of the Yankees in the AL East. Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby in Cleveland, the winner taking home $1 million. Teddy Bruschi posting on Instagram this morning that he's doing much better after suffering a stroke last week. The Bruins have signed forward Peter Solaric to a 1-year two-way contract with an NHL cap hit of $700,000. In the NBA, reports out Denver is rescinding the qualifying offer on forward Trey Lyles. That'll make him an unrestricted free agent. And 15-year-old Coco Gauff's run at Wimbledon has come to an end in the fourth round as she fell to former number one Simona Halep 6-3, 6-3. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. Experience cutting-edge cooling for all-night comfort with the reinvented Tempur-Pedic Breeze mattress. I'm Tim McConan, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I really hate this for the Eastern Conference, and that obviously includes the Celtics, because everyone in the East is now just playing for second place. That's all it is. Nobody in the Eastern Conference can compete, assuming health, by the way. This conversation assumes health for everything. The Lakers, to me, are vulnerable because of LeBron's age. They're vulnerable because of Anthony Davis's injury history. They're vulnerable because of those factors. Okay, they're vulnerable because all of their depth pieces are like guys that are ancient. They signed Rajon Rondo the other day. I'm like, okay, this is great if you were signing the team like 10 years ago. You know, they've got vulnerabilities. If they're healthy, they'll be great. If they're not healthy, they'll be much less than that. Okay, so these conversations that we have involve health. The same would be true of the Clippers. The same is true of any team. So those are the vulnerabilities. Age and health are certainly factors, but if healthy, the Western Conference will win the title. The Eastern Conference will not. There is no team right now going into next season that I believe in the Eastern Conference can win. Do you see a title contender in the Eastern Conference? I don't.
No, I mean, the one that I would, I guess I would be most interested to see in terms of a matchup to see who would come out on top would be the 76ers versus Golden State. I'm just trying to think of, you know, the most likely candidate to come out of the East that could threaten one of those teams. But I still think Golden State is currently constituted could beat that 76ers team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even
possible. It's a series. I don't see it. And that's bad for the Eastern Conference. It's bad for the Celtics because the Celtics, it's hard to make the argument right now that the Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, no.
You can't. Really hard to be making that argument today.
You can try.
No. You can go ahead and try. Go ahead and try and sell us on that. The Celtics offseason so far has been the Celtics getting worse.
But
which
to me, Beetle, this is...
Tim McCone, our in-house Kemba Walker hater, he will tell you Kemba has made the Celtics worse. They downgraded, and they've lost Al Horford along the way. And what are you saying now? The Celtics suck? I mean, I'm sure you are. I haven't heard you the last week, but I'm sure that's what you're saying.
Made them. I don't know if you said that.
I'm putting words right in your mouth.
Yes.
Made them worse compared to what?
No. I think that I wouldn't have signed Kemba Walker, but I think it's going to be addition by subtraction with Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier walking.
Oh, it's very positive of you for a guy who doesn't like Kemba Walker.
So I think you're going to see a better regular season, but the move doesn't make you a title contender.
Okay, but they're a worse team.
Okay, but hold on a second. Hold on. On paper, of course.
And okay, but the addition by subtraction only works for the Kyrie angle. They also lost Al Horford.
Fair.
That's fair to bring up? No. Well, thank you. And they replaced him with Enes Kanter, who, by the way, is a horrible defender. I mean, oh, man.
Can Enes Kanter play games in Toronto? He doesn't have a passport.
They'll get that figured out.
Will they?
Yeah, they will.
Okay. All right. So when it comes to this team and the way it's constituted right now, I talked to A'Sherrod Blakely about this twice last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the exact same thing. He said, no, this team doesn't get as many wins as last year's team does. You know, it's an uphill. You've replaced Kyrie Irving with a good player in Kemba Walker, or if you know, listen to Tim McCone, maybe not all that good. But nobody is disagreeing that Kemba Walker is not as good as Kyrie Irving.
I mean, I mean, from a talent perspective, I don't think he's the same thing. But
Al Horford's gone, so you'd have to be pretty much out of your gourd, or just talking strictly intangibles to say that this team is automatically set up to win more games this coming season than they won last season.
So I think the intangibles thing is going to be a big part of it.
To the tune of how many games?
I think Gordon Hayward, 2 years removed from the injury, is going to be closer to what he was in Utah. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to take a step forward this year. And if they don't, you're screwed.
Okay.
But,
well, Jason Tatum did not take a step forward last year.
No, he didn't.
Year.
And Jaylen Brown, I know he was good towards the back half, but he had a horrific first 2 months of the season. So,
and you may be seeing the new normal with Gordon Hayward.
Well, you're in a lot of trouble then.
Okay.
If that's the case.
All right.
I would assume, though, that with a better chemistry with this team and those guys improving, I could see you winning more games in the regular season, but I don't think you're going to contend.
Now, by the way,
having said all that.
Now I'm looking at Cantor's stupid immigration issues.
See, it might be an issue.
So he could have gone to Toronto. There's nothing that stopped him from going there last year, but the team played it safe because Turkey wants him arrested. They've issued an arrest warrant for him. He could have traveled to Canada, but the team wanted to play it safe and didn't want to chance him going to Canada. And he's got visa and passport issues. Turkey revoked his passport, apparently, and he's on a path to citizenship here, but he's not going to be a citizen until 2021. And so until then, he wants to play it safe and just stay here in the States where he knows he's not going to get arrested for being outspoken against the Turkish government.
Gotcha.
So that's why they just said, why don't you just not go to Toronto for the games against the Raptors? Yeah. So, whatever. Anyway, side topic, sidebar. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying his comments have him running afoul against Turkey?
I don't even know what his comments were about Turkey, and I don't really want to go down that path today. I really don't. I've already had one mix-up on Brandon King. I don't want to mix anything else up.
If this Celtics team does, in fact, overcome, and the intangibles mean a lot.
Yeah.
And Hayward comes back and plays better. And Tatum ascends. Last year was just a kind of an odd plateau season, blah, blah, blah. And they do what? That is something really, truly worthy of celebrating and watching. And you're going to root them on either way because it's your team. But to get excited about it, I have to see that first. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, that's just as expected. Really, if that were to happen, though, that's something worthy of mention, and it gets, I think, a lot of accolades for Brad Stevens if he's able to overcome what has been ahead of this team or what this team has become, which is once again a place, trying to figure it out. You had it figured out. You had Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford all playing together. You had Marcus Smart signed up. You had Tatum and Brown. You had it figured out, and it didn't work. And then guys left. So now you're trying to figure it out again. And if they do it to the tune of the same number or even more wins than last year, that's something to get excited for.
So was last year the most talented team that Brad Stevens has ever had?
We will answer that question coming up next, McCone. All right, we'll answer that, and we'll also talk about the departure of Kyrie Irving and where he's going to Brooklyn. He's going to Brooklyn to play with Kevin Durant. And when Kevin Durant is back and he's healthy, Kyrie will be in a better spot, I think, closer to a championship than the Celtics will be at that point. We will discuss coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, so Kyrie chose the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, the Nets. What a crap bag team that is. The Nets, who are now closer than the Celtics once Kevin Durant is healthy. What horrible news that was. between Big Al choosing the 76ers, which sucks. That one hurts. Everyone likes Big Al. I like Al Horford. And Kyrie going to the Nets. I mean, you know, we all sort of expected Kyrie to leave. But now the Nets are better. Once Durant is healthy, the Nets are better than the Celtics. That totally blows. That just doesn't seem fair. That the Nets can be as, you know, just the franchise that they are and can get totally fleeced in the deal that Danny Ainge did with them for Kevin Durant and Paul Pierce. And they somehow, by the year 2019, end up in a better position than the Celtics. Don't you hate that? That just doesn't feel right. That they just got there simply by, what, geography? Being in the right city? That doesn't feel right at all. But Kyrie is down there selling to people that it's a part of his dream and it's a part of where, you know, being at home and his legacy.
One thing that
his story and all the nonsense he tried to feed Boston about wanting his number up in the rafters and him and his dad and blah, 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 blah. Well, a bunch of crap.
It's a nice story.
They'll hate him there in 3 years, too.
One thing that really kind of puzzled us, too, on the day that it broke,
yeah,
was the really well-produced video that was out almost immediately.
You think it was well-produced?
I mean, they took time doing it.
Okay, that's true.
There was a lot of time put into it. I'm like, huh. Maybe this was
Hardy. I've seen Hardy produce better things on his iPhone.
That shoot was during Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago.
In my heart, I knew I always wanted to play at home. And home is where my heart
is. And it's got to be Jay-Z. It's got to be all Jay-Z music. Rock Nation. Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right, so he goes there, and he's in a better spot. And so, I mean, how do you argue with that one? He's in a better spot, and he's with Kevin Durant, and he's on a better team now. Once Kevin Durant's healthy, whenever that may be.
And for a guy who seemingly wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow and have his own team, whose team is that going to be?
You know what?
In another year.
I think it's his.
You think it's Kyrie's team?
Well, everything that you sort of read indicates that Kevin Durant wants to go there because Kyrie went there. Like, he's following Kyrie. Has Kevin Durant ever struck you as the alpha male, everyone take my lead, follow me type of guy?
No, but...
And everything we've heard is Kyrie doesn't want to go to the Knicks. Kyrie's going to the Brooklyn Nets. And if Kevin Durant wants to join up with Kyrie, he's got to go to the Nets. This screams of this was Kyrie's call and Kevin Durant followed. And now that Kyrie's got the 1 year head start, in a twisted sort of way, it feels like it's going to be Kyrie's team. That's just my personal take on it. At least it'll feel that way to me.
Whose team was it in Golden State?
It was Steph Curry's team. And not Kevin Durant's team.
But Kevin Durant was the best player.
That's a good debate.
Yeah, he was.
It's a good debate.
Yes, he was. 2 years ago, he was the best player. Steph Curry's phenomenal player.
Yeah, no, if I were building a team, I'd take Kevin Durant first.
But that type of dynamic can work. I mean, we saw it work here in Boston.
Although right now, with Kevin Durant's age and injury, I'd probably take Curry first.
Yeah.
I would take Steph Curry over him now.
But that type of dynamic can work, and we saw it here in Boston when Kevin Garnett, look, he was the reason why the Celtics were able to win. And, of course, you know, Pierce was here, and Ray Allen did their part. But it was Paul Pierce's team. Right? It's just that he couldn't win it without Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but...
He always acquiesced, and whenever Garnett was asked, he would say, it's Paul's team. This is Paul's team.
And you know what? And Kevin Garnett deserves a lot of credit for that.
I think so, too.
He deserves a ton of credit for that. Because as much as it was Paul Pierce's team, and they needed to make it Paul Pierce's team, and he was the captain and all that... Man, Kevin Garnett was the guy who set the tone.
Yes.
Right? He was the guy.
And I think the same thing is going to happen.
And he was their best player.
And the same thing is going to happen in Brooklyn because Kevin Durant is going to be their best player. And he's going to be the one that goes in there and makes a difference. You just put Kyrie Irving in the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see how the Brooklyn Nets do this year with just Kyrie Irving out there. Do you have high hopes for the Brooklyn Nets in this upcoming season?
Year one of Kyrie?
Yes.
I think they'll be okay.
I think they'll be okay. But I don't think they're gonna make a real run.
I don't think they're gonna be a bad team. No, if that's what you're asking. I don't think they'll be bad.
But adding Kevin Durant to that team, it's just got to. They're going to have to work out what the dynamic will be. Whose team is it? Who's the leader? Even if they're not the best player, that's going to have to shake out because it posed a problem here in Boston with Kyrie Irving. When he was with LeBron, there was no doubt that it was LeBron's team and LeBron was the best player.
John in Somerset has a bold prediction for the upcoming NBA season. John, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Zone Beetle? First time calling into the show. You guys are amazing.
Thanks, dude.
I just wanted to say this about the NBA season. First of all, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be good, period. I don't care if Durant's there or not. I think Durant's going to come back as a shell of himself. He's not even going to be close to what he used to be. And Kyrie Irving, as the leader of any team, is an automatic, like, red flag, terrible idea. Kyrie is a terrible leader with a humongous ego that cannot carry a team. Secondly, I think it's going to be Celtics-Clippers in the NBA Finals, Clippers in six. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together seems like an unbelievably smart idea by the Clippers. Kawhi's a great scorer, and Paul George is a good number two player on any team. So that's basically what I'm thinking. Celtics, Clippers, with the Clippers winning in six in the finals. And then the Nets aren't even going to be that good, but that's my opinion. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Wait, what? I mean, he was all over the place there. I don't know. The Nets aren't going to be that good? I thought he said the Nets are going to be good. He started off by saying the Nets are going to be good.
He said the Nets were going to be good this year, even before Kevin Durant got there.
Still have DeAndre Jordan. They've got Kyrie Irving. They've got a couple of nice pieces there. They've got some young talent. They'll be okay. Nick in Providence.
Unless that locker room gets
started. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, so first thing I wanted to say is I think the move from Kyrie to Kemba from, you know, the perspective of just purely Boston sports is it's healthier for the team. Kemba has proven himself to be a better leader than Kyrie in years past, especially with a team like Charlotte.
Oh! Can't do that, Nick.
You did it.
Can't do that. I did do that. I did do that. I don't know if I was as emphatic as he was, though. Tom. 90 seconds, no commercials. Here are the headlines.